to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, and we want to remind you that you can tune in to the Cleveland Browns preview show with hosts Ken Carmen and Gerard Cherry tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 850 and 92.3 The Fan. All right, time now for our defensive grades in the game against Baltimore Ravens. We'll start with the defensive line. Some nice tackles for loss. Saw Des Bryant. Danny Shelton had one. Danny Shelton also lost his temper and had the two personal foul penalties. They gave up six yards per carry, 181 yards rushing, one sack on the day of Joe Flacco, and that did not even come from the defensive line. So this unit here, what did you see from them up front defensively?
C-ish, I will say. Just inconsistency. And I think that at times throughout a football game, it looks very clear and decisive. And then there are plays and series of plays where it just gets very muddy for me. And muddy for me means indecision, means second guessing, means nothing defined, and we're letting an offensive team kind of steer our ship. And as a defensive player, especially when you know you're taught to play like a bound, be aggressive, be physical, and do your job, we look lost, we look muddy, we look like we're guessing as a defensive line when you, in fact, as far as my defensive history, should be very clear and concise.
I heard something today from the CEO of University Hospitals, Tom Zenti, that I thought was apropos to what you were just saying and really stuck with me from his talk today to the Browns employees, and it was this, and I quote, "If you don't create your own strategy, your competitors will define who you are." And I thought that was good, and I think that's sort of applicable right now to our defense in terms of what you're talking about. It doesn't seem like we have a clear, concrete plan of attack, and we're doing way too much reacting, and we're not even reacting in a structured way.
If you don't take it to them, they will take it to you, right?
Yep.
I mean, in a nutshell, and I think that's what happened. I think there is a lot of flexibility within this defense that allows you to make those splash plays, the tackle for the loss, you know, the sacks here and there. But then I think with that flexibility, a good offensive line, good players, and a good scheme offensively that play well together can abuse that flexibility and create the levels of holes that we see get created. And the width sometimes, literally, the width of these, oh my God, I could run through that hole. They're so big.
Absolutely. I'm going to give them a C- as well. Some good plays, but again, not good enough overall. Let's talk about the linebackers now. I thought on the inside, again, another rough day. On the outside, Armani Bryant, a bright spot. Nate Orchard, when he's not asked to be in coverage or to not follow the ball, seems like when he knows where he's going and he's asked to follow the ball or get in the backfield, he does a good job. When you can bend, you know, run one of those veer routes or veer tracks where you kind of start one way and he sucks in and then you bounce it back to his side, he still has trouble with that.
Armani?
Nate Orchard,
yes. Oh, yes. That's a rookie. That's a rookie
mistake.
He gets
lost
yeah.
on some of those. But I thought overall the outside guys a little bit better than the inside guys in this game. But again, nothing spectacular and probably arguably not good enough overall. So I'd say C- D+ for the backers as well.
I agree. And I agree with that. And I think that overall in a 3-4 defense, and we've said it before, not just this football game, but your inside linebackers, one is the thumper. One is the cleanup guy, right? And as an outside linebacker, you are the guy that sets the edge, and you are the guy that gets in the backfield and disrupts things. And I know the lack of pressure on Flacco is one thing. I'm going to give these guys a C-. They were not even close to good. They were there. They were out there. And there was no plays being made. Every linebacking group I've ever been in, like, you always put your hands in either on a game day or practice to, like, you know, and you broke down to, like, playmaker or make plays, you know, because that's what linebackers do. You make plays. And I don't feel like we're making a lot of plays.
No.
I feel like we're just doing enough. We're tackling guys. And I said this to you maybe even off air. Did we not get rid of DeQuell Jackson because of the 7-yard downfield tackles? And I mean, that's what we're getting a lot of right now.
Yeah, and that's got to pick up here.
And a muddy front at times,
yep,
becomes a muddy linebacker group as well.
Because those guys up front are the ones setting the tone for these
Nothing's
backers.
Defined. If it's muddy for them, it's muddy for the linebackers. And then guess what? It's muddy for the safeties too.
And then it gets a lot of mud. And it's okay to be a tough mudder, but you don't want to be a mudder.
You got to finish the race, which we did against Baltimore. That,
exactly right. All right, let's go to the secondary. I thought Tremont Williams, solid game. We know that Pierre Desir came in and played well. Kaywan Williams, overall, I thought solid game. Jordan Poyer came in, missed a few tackles, but I thought overall you didn't notice him as certainly not as a liability out there at all. And Dante Whitner was very involved in the run defensive game, made a lot of tackles, some big hits, and was also involved in the pass game. Didn't give up a ton of stuff. On the day, they were at 5 for 4, 4 catches on 5 targets for 44 yards against Joe Hayden, 2 for 4 for 53 on Tremont. They really kind of attacked the linebackers and safeties more than anything on this day. That's where they had the most of their success. One completion, no yards on Dante Whitner. And then Pierre Desir, one target, no completions as well. It was really the linebackers. They got Nate Orchard lost a couple of times. They got Dansby Kruger a couple of times. They got Kruger a couple of times. Jordan Poyer as well. Kaywan Williams played a good game also. So secondary overall, I think probably a B plus.
I said B. I was going to say B minus just to be critical because you have to understand the competition as well. And I know they're paid professionals, but none of these guys should have been winning, especially down the field, the way they won early in this football game. I would have expected us to come out and go for the jugular, tighten up very, very early, allowing maybe a covered sack or two in this football game. But Flacco had his way early on.
And let's go to special teams now. Travis Kuhns, 4 for 4, the game winner. Andy Lee, Mr. Perfect. That's right, Andy Lee, solid game punting the football. Return game really not a factor. Tucker was kicking touchbacks, and their punter was kicking the ball out of bounds.
Kicking the ball out of bounds, yeah. Overall, I mean, how do you not give perfection A? I thought Andy Lee continued to be one of the top three punters in the National Football League, and are we the only team with a kicker that is perfect in the National Football League?
No, there are a couple of other teams that have perfect
kickers. But overall, A.
I give them an A as well. They were the difference. Bottom line, they were the difference when it came down to
it. Won you the game.
Travis Kuhns needed to kick that ball through those uprights, and that's what that cool California customer did, and the Browns were 33-30 winners. All right, when we come back, time for a little after further review, and we'll be joined to wrap up the show around 2:40 by Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on RossTucker.com and the color analyst on Sunday's broadcast for Westwood One of the Browns and the Ravens. You can follow him on Twitter.
Raisins. I like raisins.
We made them raisins.
They were grapes. They're now raisins.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back after further review right after this.